Everybody have a copy of the stealth trespass offering?
Special.
The special trespass offering? Oh, here, what, no wonder I've got this. I don't want that. This is, would you put that back up where the other thing is on his desk? The biggest thing that we can see that isn't seen here about trespass is that a trespass is a debt. And that's the basis of the trespass. There is, by the way, do you know that, see all these little notebooks up here? Bananas has become
note takers.
For well, and no one has taken.
Does anybody ever look back at their notes?
I didn't.
Of course.
I have never read one note everybody had.
I was expecting a groundswell of never.
Everybody does.
The trespass. There are six trespasses listed under the trespass offering. And it's when you lie unto your neighbor in that which was delivered unto you to keep, when you trespass in fellowship, when you trespass in a thing taken away by violence, when you trespass in that you've deceived your neighbor, when you trespass in that you found that which was lost, and you lie concerning it, and when you trespass concerning swearing falsely. Every one of those trespasses, of those six, include, with those trespasses, you can include every possible thing that you call evil against you. And every one of these trespasses has to be satisfied by a death. If there is a slight break in fellowship, from God's standpoint, it is the same level as committing mass murder. The thing that we are dullards about is that we believe there are degrees of trespass. And we believe that there are trespasses that don't require a life. Every single trespass requires a death in order to satisfy. Then the process can start of restoration. But in order that there be any interaction taking place, the trespass, the slightest trespass, the slightest break in fellowship requires a death in order to satisfy it. That's the lesson of this trespass offering. Every one of these on this little sheet, every possible trespass requires the sacrifice of a ram. And it requires the death of that ram. All trespass require a ram as the trespass offering.
And there are seven, though, those were seven areas.
Six. Well, you can count it as seven if you count that one as break, but it's really it. Now, hear me. A trespass, the slightest trespass, is a debt. A debt that requires a life, a debt that requires restoration, and a debt that requires an added on 20%. look at, if you saw the bananas list, you would see that there was another column, and it was a separate column for offenses against God and a separate column for offenses against man. It's exactly the same. So therefore, because you don't need to see it because you can hear it, bananas needs the added paperwork, everything is exactly the same. If there's a trespass against man, it's a trespass against God. If there is a leading, I mean, I have done nothing my entire life except compile trespasses. There would not be enough rams that have ever lived on the face of the earth to meet the life demands of the trespasses that I've committed.
That's what really hit me when you described it. It's not only that, but it's 20% on top of the restoration. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like, it's more than a snowball going down the hill. It's humongous.
Every time, every trespass that is committed that isn't seen and therefore atoned for becomes one of usury. In other words, the amount that is owed is beginning to multiply exponentially. You understand? So that slowly but surely, there is no hope of restoration. There are not enough rams that have ever lived to satisfy your offerings. And there is not as much time in the universe, and there's not enough money to pay off the valuation in the shekels of the sanctuary based on your trespasses. Jesus Christ does no one any good unless they know that. You hear me? The death, the burial, the resurrection, the blood, the mystery of Christ does no one any good unless they know that there is not enough money in the universe, enough time left, and enough rams that have ever lived to satisfy their own trespasses. If you think anything other than that, you will not be able ever to repent. The evidence that you will never be able to repent is that the finger of judgment will always be pointed. And it's never again, it can never again be a small matter. We had an object lesson last night in bananas. We had, fortunately it worked out all right, but it was a bloody mess. It was a bloody banana evening. Hear me. Every problem that you have with everyone in your Bible study can be traced to one place, to one point, that they do not recognize the depth of their trespass. Now, because they don't recognize the depth of their trespass, and yet God has forgiven them of everything, and they begin to point the finger, then God will place them in prison, the prison of their own mind, until they have paid the very last farthing. Can you hear that? Let's look at you. We'll all know it. You all know it well enough. It's Matthew 18. It's the act of how oft shall I forgive? Till 7 times, 70 times 7. Being forgiven of 10,000 talents, and yet holding 100 pence against someone. Now. Every trespass, the slightest trespass, in fellowship, the slightest break in fellowship, the slightest lie unto your neighbor in that which was delivered unto you to keep, the slightest thing taken away by violence, the slightest deception of your neighbor, the slightest area where you have found that which was lost and you lied concerning it, the slightest place where you swore falsely demands a life for every occasion, for every time, for every issue, for every trespass. What this does to you, it causes you that the closer you move towards God, you do not move towards a place of being this lily white spotless bullshit in nice little clothes. It puts you in a position where you are continually The death has to happen 1,000 times a day instead of maybe just 100 early on in the career.
Because you see yourself clearly.
Yes.
Whereas in the beginning, you know.
And at the beginning, hear me, and I'm not trying to pick on any one of you in the room, but at the beginning, you always have to be a victim of something. And you'll continue to be a victim until a victimhood becomes so overpowering that there's no... The weight of the victimhood becomes so psychically so heavy that it's heavier than the whole universe. And you can throw it off. Yeah. In that moment, be free. Yeah. And it's... Remember what we talked about the last time we met? That the trespasses are revealed... And the depth of it, and the style of it, and the type of it are revealed in the things that you're ashamed of. They're revealed in the things that cause you shame, the things that cause you the angst, and the moments of fear, and the moments of introspection. And think about your lives. If you could see, if you could pull yourself out of time, there's almost no one left on the face of the earth that can cause you to do that. That's what sanctification is. So you're never again a respecter of persons. Now, let's look at the chart. Bad chart. This is all recorded in Leviticus 5:14 to 6:7 and Leviticus 7:1 to 7. The trespass is the lowest form of the offering. Now the other thing we have to learn here is that there is absolutely nothing about the trespass offering that's voluntary. There's absolutely nothing about the trespass offering that matters a whit whether or not you understand it or not, or whether you know you've done it or not. There's not a whit of the trespass offering that's dependent on your sincerity, in other words. Well, that'll just wipe you out. Won't it?
Yeah, or the flip side is you don't have to try and be sincere.
Well, that's the good news. You can't believe how difficult it is to have a sincere Harry around. It's dependent on the law of God. It doesn't matter whether anybody recognizes it. It doesn't matter whether you understand it. It doesn't matter whether you see it. It simply is. Okay? Now.
Well, in this, in Christ, was, I mean, he was the ram for the trespasses of man.
And for all of them.
When you said it doesn't depend on whether you see it or anything, like when they made the offerings back then, everybody had to have trespass offerings made.
Constantly.
Did they have to go and ask to have it done, though?
There were both kinds. There were the ones that were done constantly for unwitting sins, and they were done for both.
It's like
in case you did something wrong, and they were done constantly.
So they just, that was one part of the service. They just continually.
So right, we die daily.
But they had to know though that they were constantly doing, just like we know that there were so many that they couldn't possibly offer for all of them.
Amen.
I mean, they knew that.
Too. Amen.
So, part of the whole offering service was, let's just get up in the morning and start our trespass offering.
No. It wasn't just, I mean, it was, yeah. If they, when Israel became apostate, it became that. Yeah. And they say, well, you know, so it's so much, I don't even have to confess it. So I'll just, and so then it became, Israel, it lost its power.
What we just talked about, that's what the habitual behavior is in
mentally ill. Yeah. Compulsive just
straightening things out, or you know, whatever, straightening things out.
It's what?
There you said.
It's a trespass offering.
It's an offering.
It's in here. It's genetic memory of a trespass offering. Like in Rain Man, the way, you know, remember the way he had to have his room and the baseball cards had to be just right, and he would always make them right, and then if somebody got wrong, he got all upset and he had to make them right.
That's the only thing that saved his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were his offerings. Those were his redemption. And when the offering and the redemption becomes so obvious to even an idiot, then we call it mental illness. It doesn't matter whether it's compulsive behavior disorder or schizophrenia or. It's all mental illness has as its basis the fact that they're trying to make their own redemption, their own trespass offering, their own offerings. Now remember, the trespass offering is the lowest of all the apprehensions. It's the lowest thing there is of all the offerings.
Does low mean bad here?
Low means... low means the least possible joy. Low means the most you think you have to protect yourself. Low means the most you think you have to defend yourself. Low means all of those things.
But it's also kind of it's the most necessary before you can do anything else. It's all because of both of those things.
Right. Yeah, you can't. Again, nothing else in the Bible can happen unless there's something is dealt with, something is done with the trespass offering.
Like a door almost.
Right. Okay, well let's go down and talk about it. If you'll remember in the sin offering, the next offering, when we go down the list and we say who offers, who's the offerer, it's got all these things, it's got the high priest and this individual and the princes and the leaders, and in every case there's no distinction for the trespass offering. It's only the soul that trespasses. You understand the majesty of that? It says that God is no respecter of persons in any wise. There isn't any real, I mean, it's anybody can look. Anybody with any modicum of honesty will look and know that all men are trespassing. And it's the soul that trespasses. Now, what do we do when we try to create our own redemption? When we try to create our own redemption, we have to come up with a belief system that there's someone on earth that trespasses less than I do. And we create images to justify that. If I could arrive at that, or if we will do anything in our power, we will do everything in our power in order that there would be the hope of righteousness. And what we do for that hope of righteousness, righteousness meaning where we can do our own trespass offering, we create caricatures in the media or religious caricatures so that we have to make them believe, we have to believe that they are less sinful, that they have less trespass than we do. Because if they have less than we do, then there's a possibility that I too can be righteous. And we create these clowns that have to fall. That's why it's almost a certainty that any religious person with any celebrity will have to fall.
Because they've been lifted up by the group.
They've been lifted up by the group think necessity for their own self-righteousness.
Because the individual members hope that they can attain to that.
Right.
So that I'll be happy. Right. And I'll be clean.
Right.
Well, that's the goal.
Do you understand that? It's only the spiritual man that understands that there's no testing that has taken you that isn't common to all. There's no trespass that you are guilty of that isn't common to all. You understand how often you believe that someone else is sinless?
Yeah.
It's like, do you know how often you ascribe power to your enemy? It's the same principle.
It's Jesus Christ after the flesh too.
Yeah. It's Tammuz.
But to the one who is imagining it, it's Jesus Christ.
But again, nobody ever believed in a false god.
Right.
Not even once. But that's why even the most intimate things of God have to be put to the test. That's why we are transfigured by the renewing of our mind, that we may test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why we can't have any kind of an arena where everything about that has to do with us and vis-a-vis God isn't put to the test. There can be no such thing as subjective things, subjective, because it can't be put to the test. There can't be any subjective revelation. Now, so the soul is who has to offer. And it's the soul, the word the soul, the great equalizer that makes us know that all of us are the same. And what's the sacrifice? The sacrifice is a ram without spot, without blemish, a perfect offering. But it requires his death. For the slightest break in fellowship. In this meaning of fellowship, you understand, this doesn't mean something like you and I think fellowship means. This meaning of fellowship is perfect union 24 hours a day. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. If there's the slightest break in that, it's a fellowship. It's a trespass that is the same degree as mass murder.
We have it more the opposite. It's like if we have a slight break in disfellowship, we think it's a big deal, you know.
Hey, we had to go back for 1 second, this thing about the offer and being the soul. So like the idea of back then, the idea of being a member of Israel and looking and seeing the high priest. I didn't look at the high priest and think that he was a less sinful or any of that.
I don't know.
He just happened to have that job. But because the high priest is, as we are, beset with all this.
Men, in fact, the high priest.
Do their own.
The high priest had to continually, if we look at what he did in his services, he continually confessed his own sin.
So that's the thing, but he was even closer to God, physically closer to God, so he was even, he was like consciously aware.
And the liturgy demanded that constant confession.
Yeah.
like there's more blood required to put.
So it's exactly the opposite of the way I would imagine.
Do you understand how easy it is for you to believe that there is some celebrity, there's some personage that doesn't have it like you do?
Yeah.
And how comforting that is to you? It causes you to have a hero. It causes you to have somebody to look up to. And all that is, it sounds real neat and sweet and role model-y. All it means is you're trying to gain your own righteousness. You're trying to refuse the trespass. Did I tell you guys what happened? Almost all of you remember John Garlock. John's on a talk show now. Did I tell you about this?
He told us something about it.
Yeah,
which talk show is it?
It's
dancing up there?
It's, I don't know, some religious station anyway. And so anyway, his wife told me about it, and so I called him up. And I told you I called him, but I didn't tell you what I called him about. Maybe I did, but it was about role models. He was bemoaning how...
Yeah.
On this society, our kids don't have any righteous role models. Well, I called him, and I just made fun of him to no end, without giving my name on the air. And I got about a sentence and a half out, and he said, I know. You know, he identified me on the air. Hi, Willie, or something like that. But can you imagine? You want to have a role model. You want to have a hero. You want to have someone to look up to. The desire to have someone to look up to is your twisted attempt to have self-righteousness. It's only the one who knows the meaning of the trespass offering that has no heroes. Therefore, he's not deceived by the actions of men. He no longer is led by the sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. Because he no longer requires from anyone the praise of men. And that's, in the other metaphor, that's the bris, the circumcision, the knife going around the heart, the call of the heart, so that it's totally circumcised, so you no longer need the praise of men in anything. Now that, it really hurts. You guys must have guessed by now, it's the most hurtful thing there is as a human being, is to have the call of your, is to have your heart circumcised. The net effect is you no longer need the praise of men in anything. The process hurts like a son of a bitch. Because what it does is it cuts to your heart this need, the inbred need, the Adamic need for self-righteousness.
It takes away the ability to hide under a false covering of somebody you push up here.
Amen.
Yeah. Which is really only an act of elevating yourself. I mean,
That's what I...
Yeah. Like, it's hard not to say, gee, I can't wait till I get to that point. It just becomes a circular...
Yeah, and what it all... And that's a good point, because then what it all has to... What it all really does is say it isn't finished.
Yeah.
Okay, now watch. The offerer, the great common denominator, it's just the offerer. There's no distinction. The sacrifice, the slightest thing causes a debt in order to have atonement. Now, who's offended? Who is the offended party in the trespass? Who is the one that is a debt is owed to? Well, I can say you in Isaiah 51 that I says, "Oh Lord, I've sinned against thee and thee only." So therefore, I'm a debtor to God. The problem with being a debtor to God is that it's never tested. Do you know that everybody that has any interest in God stuff believes they're a debtor to God? The yogas on top of the mountains and the Dalai Lama and all his priests all believe above all things that they're indebted to God. The people that go to the churches that sit in the pews row by row, row after row, all believe that they are indebted in debt to God because of their sin.
Well, when you're bought with the price, you're a bond slave.
It's a meaningless statement.
Well, but it's not. I don't get, you know, I know you're going somewhere.
Everybody believes that they're bought with a price. Everybody believes that they owe a debt to God. Except God says you owe a debt to Him if you are a debtor to the human race. And not a subjective debtor to the human race. I mean, an objective, it's a subjective. You understand? Where it is tested absolutely in a people. But not just in a people. That's kids' play. Now we must be with Paul that I am a debtor to the entire human race because of what happened. But I can't go from being a debtor to God to a debtor to the entire human race. Why? Because of the evilness of this. What will the evilness of this do? It'll make it a philosophy. And there won't be a life. It won't be testable. That's what Tilton has done. He didn't do it on purpose. That's what the preachers have done. They haven't done it on purpose. But they have created, because of the nature of Adamic man, the evilness of man, they've created a world, a lifestyle in which there is no requirement to lay down your life moment by moment. So their protestations about God, their belief system in God, their philosophies about God remain only that. They're never tested in the laying down.
That's where it gets down to a person, one on one.
Amen. Amen.
In a place.
In a place.
A specific time, yeah. Period. That's it.
It's like life point. That's the thing about Jesus Christ. He is come in the flesh.
Amen.
It's got to be Him.
Yeah.
So this then, who is the offended? God is the offended, and the neighbor is the offended. And who is the neighbor? It's the one that the offense in particular, but more importantly, by definition, the neighbor who's whoever comes into your world that's in need. Then it becomes real. Then reality takes place. Then your religion is tested. Now, what does the trespass offering atone? Who does the trespass offering atone for? Who is the death of this ram atone for? Absolutely no one. It atones only for that one act.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a perfect ram without spot or blemish.
And it atoned for the one momentary break in fellowship.
And not the person that did it.
It didn't atone for the person at all. Atone for the one momentary break in fellowship.
So it's sort of like the pitch in the ark. I mean, it's what keeps the water from
coming in. Yeah, but stop a minute. Isn't that what everybody believes about Jesus Christ? Remember, this is the lowest apprehension of Jesus Christ you can have. Isn't that what you believe? You don't believe you're atoned for. You believe only that little act maybe might be atoned for at that moment, but only for that moment. By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Okay, we're just now seeing in the trespass offering what normally we take up, what we make of that statement. In other words, we believe that the fact that I smacked John and I said, John, I'm sorry, that maybe that the death of Christ atoned for that. You understand me? This is the lowest possible apprehension of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We believed a particular thing we have done is atoned for and covered by the blood.
You're saying just one, our belief only extends to one
thing. Yeah, at one time.
We can't comprehend the...
Well, we're about to comprehend, but this is where we are right now. Okay? Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
I'm not really sure. Maybe by the time you get done, I will.
Well, what I'm saying is that we go through life sometimes in joy, sometimes in understanding, sometimes in a state of forgiveness, and then something else takes place that puts us in a state of certain demise, certain desolation, certain, because we've only seen that there is atonement for the one act we've done, or the two, or the three. We have apprehended this level of the trespass offering. If we apprehend the fullness of all of the offerings, then there isn't the mood that we're not carried away by every wind and wave of doctrine. We're not carried away by our own minds. We're not carried away by what happens around us. There's a constancy. We're anchored. Nothing in the universe can move us. That's what he wants from us. And one way of seeing that is by apprehending these offerings. What I'm saying to you is most of us as a body and most people only apprehend that simple level of the death and resurrection and the work of Jesus Christ. That somehow there's an atonement for some of their acts. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Then what does it atone for? It only atones for that particular trespass at that particular moment. And when we hear that, when we see it, when we know that, there's joy for that moment. But it atones for far more. Now there's an interesting thing here in this level. The level of apprehension is that we have to have an intercessor between us and God. We don't like it. We're the shit. But we believe. Let's look. I want to show you. It's really interesting. Go to the Leviticus. Starting in verse 16, it says, "And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram." And then in verse 18, "And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance." Then in verse chapter 6, verse 7, "And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him." Do you understand? In every case, the idea with the trespass offering is that there is a priest who has to intercede between him and God to make the atonement. You can all your life confess before yourself in the closet and you will never believe it, because your apprehension of the trespass is, your apprehension is only this level, and you believe there must be an intercessory between you, a physical touching. You can say Jesus Christ is the intercessor all your life, but the practical aspect of it, being worked out so there isn't a feeling or knowing of atonement, is that it'll have to be spoken to what who you think of as someone between you and God. Understand?
And what will have to be spoken of that?
Confession. The confession.
Or you will have to confess to someone.
Just in terms of what you believe, yeah.
How it, now I'm
that, is that what gives rise to, putting people, and that's the very fact that people think that, you know, and they live in that ignorance is what, you know, raises people up to this high exalted place, right?
No. What raises people up to the high exalted place is they want to have righteousness.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you think you need a pope or you need a Bob Tilton.
Well, it says you do right here. It says that. Well, it says you do.
Well, but when he rent the veil, he made the way to God.
But it says you do in the law.
He is the priest, and you know, he opened the veil.
But it says, the law says.
No, but the law, he fulfilled all that in that place, right? Did he not?
Well, anyway.
This why I don't understand.
You don't understand. You're taking the law. You're not seeing the law as a picture. You're seeing the law as a rule.
Well, I don't know. I don't understand this point.
I'm saying that at this level of apprehension, with this picture, you will believe that you need an atonement. You need a priest to make the atonement.
Oh, I understand. I know that everybody feels that way, or virtually everybody does. And then it seems like that's the heresy, that we still believe that you need somebody or some person to do this for you.
But it also says to confess your sins one to another. And in that sense, Christ as the body has to take a physical form, you know, to actually, I think that's the kind of the sense of what this is. It's like, if you're just dealing with trespasses, there has to be, to satisfy that thing in you, deep someplace, you know, you have to, at this level, have an actual person to confess to in this deal. And that's probably what happens. That's why where it says you confess your sins one to another.
But it's not that person is going
to
do something for you.
Well, I think by just being there to confess to,
if
you,
think
it's, it serves a purpose.
If you're
in
his place, this is the part that does serve a purpose. If you're in his position.
Yeah.
Well, the point of it is, again, we're studying, we're looking at this law, and the law we see with Moses and we see with Paul, that the law is a pattern, a picture, that it isn't a rule.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. I mean, that people still somehow, like Harry talking about the trace memory, you know that, and so in your own understanding, you try and get somebody to be that intercessor for you. And that's what raises these people up. You know, somebody fills that gap that you're looking for, and the masses, you know, flow after them.
Right, but don't dismiss the fact that this law, not a jot or a tittle of this shall pass away.
Till it be completed.
Ever.
Well, till it complete.
Larry.
Where is it? I mean,
it says not one law, jot or tittle of this shall pass away. You have to understand that what this says is, this is the way it has to be. Now there has to be a kingdom and a nation of priests, and that we must therefore confess one to another that we might be healed.
Yeah, but it's not according to this law. I don't see that's... I mean, because he fulfilled it. I mean, this is the part I'm having a problem with.
But there has to be a person. Yes, he filled it. I think what Owen says is... it can be a nebulous Jesus Christ in your mind that you confess to, and there's no laying down of your life.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I mean, you'll not lay down your life unless you know that in the first place.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law.
Till, what's the rest of that?
Well, till all be fulfilled.
Till all be fulfilled.
And well, heaven and earth, hear me. What does that mean, Larry?
What the hell does it mean
that he fulfilled the law?
That he provided, he became the perfect sacrifice. He made the way to God complete. So that...
What does that mean?
It means that you don't need somebody else to pray for you. You can pray to God himself.
You alone.
Yes, you can do it. Because he made that way complete. The fact that you believe that means you will lay down your life.
Then how do we need each other? Is the question here?
I don't. I'm not trying to debate. I mean, that's the promise. That's the hope.
Yeah, but by your the way in which you said it, maybe it's like again, it's this feeling that you're discounting this study.
Well, I'm not discounting it. I mean, I see it, you know, as a type. But the type.
But what does it mean?
Has absolutely no value in that it doesn't reveal it doesn't speak of him and continue to reveal that he has already accomplished all those things. He's already done the atonement.
Well, I think what's happening here is part of what he's accomplished is he's created a body, and that's part of the fulfillment of this trespass offering. The body serves a purpose. in this confession aspect of it. And I was like,
yeah, I believe it. You know, that we confess our faults one to another. You know, and I have a great confidence in that and for what it serves.
But there's something, obviously there's something going on. What is it? What is it that you think that I'm not saying? Or,
well, I'm not sure. I
mean, something is, there's a mechanic, there's something going on here that says that you're taking, whether it's verbalized or not, that somehow you're defending or taking a different position than I am.
I don't know that. I'm trying to be clear on it.
No, but that's what the appearance is. That's what the vote, I mean, that's what's happening. I don't want this to become another weirdness.
I don't either.
I want us, if there is a fundamental difference of opinion with regard to what we're about, then I want to be able to say to you, Godspeed. If there is simply something else going on, I want us to be able to handle it without emotion. But I don't want, again, this to fester like some weird trip. But something is going on here tonight.
Well, I think there's two things that are at issue. One, Christ accomplished all this stuff. Christ is the high priest. Christ, was better than the... He does accomplish all those things. If we didn't need... then there's all this. How does that implement itself in our lives on a daily basis? If that is all there is to it, then we can just go out there and do our thing, and Christ is our mediator, and He has accomplished all this stuff, and there's no need for any of it to be worked out in a body. Christ in a body does those things. How does Christ in a body do those things? How are the real things of trespasses and offenses and your feeling of entering back in and all these things, how are those things accomplished in a body? Because you don't always have that perfect knowledge that Christ has done all this. There's a process that, you know, you can't exclude one or the other. Am I making any sense at all?
Well, yeah, I don't think I'm disagreeing with any of that.
Okay, well, that's where I think there's, like, you can't have it one way. You can't just have one. You can't have just the other. It's the understanding of both.
Yeah. I don't know. At some point, we're start talking about... the need for us to somehow, I'm not sure, it's just something just was funny to me about that. I mean, it's our responsibility to turn everybody toward Him and not to look at us. You know, that we had some secret mystical power that we could bestow on any one person.
Well,
as a priest,
we're a nation of priests. I think that's the idea. It's like everybody's, you know, in this place of doing this for somebody else,
one another.
Yeah.
It seems to me that. What is that? There's something going on, fundamental, not over an issue. And that the fundamental thing, and I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent, the fundamental thing is that you no longer look at me as one who is a teacher. But you look at me as one who you have to withstand. And so there's never any openness. There's only a looking for a place of...
I think He's always going to try to control.
Yeah, there's another... You always believe I have another agenda. And so there's never can be teaching.
Well, I don't know that I believe that.
Well,
something happened when we got to the point of the priest. And
like, yeah, I mean, it happens every time we meet.
Well, we have another person being necessary coming in to get over it.
Geez, I hate these sicknesses. It's always this and it's always that. You know, I mean, I can't recall every time. I mean, maybe, I guess.
Well, for the last few.
That's what it's been the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
For the last few months, it's been that way, I promise you. And it's like there is no it's never an openness for seeing a mystery or a teaching. It's a waiting for a justification or a word that will prove to you that I have another agenda or something.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but I can't just take stuff without going through it. I mean, I don't want to sit here like a sheep in that sense.
No, I don't want you to do that either. I want you to fundamentally see whether or not you believe the same things we believe.
Well, that's what I'm about. I mean, that's exactly what I'm about. It's the only way I know how.
Yeah, but you're contending as if you're seeing yourself as, you know, as Paul withstanding Peter.
It may be like that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not an I don't know. I mean, it's obvious.
Well, then that's the way it has to come down, I guess. I don't know.
Well, then let's have a console.
I don't have a secret agenda either. I don't come in here with a second agenda that I'm going to come in here and withstand you or run around behind your back talking about this stuff and saying, well, I've got this problem, that problem. I don't do that. You know, when we address some of these things and if something comes up, I don't want to sit here like a clown, happy little clown. If I don't see it, sometimes I can't always articulate, and that's obvious that I can't always articulate, what exactly is. I mean, it just something seems, that I don't get.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of don't.
No,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no. It's not a matter of that you don't get it. You begin preaching.
Well.
It's not a matter of saying I don't understand this solely. You begin.
I have as much. I have the opportunity to do that also. If this is like a synagogue, and too long has it been just a one way deal, I guess, and that's not always the way it should be.
But it doesn't always have to be a fight either.
Well, I don't want it to always be a fight. I don't feel like I'm having to have a fight right now.
But if it's real negligible when you get defensive, like you have to protect yourself from something, and then you have to disagree with practically everything. It's like, it's not, you don't want to be in a gullible position, so you get in a defense position. And there's not, and neither one of those is the position of whatever, faith or whatever you want to call it. You kind of jump from one side to the other. You're either completely gullible or you're completely defensive. And neither one of them are a place to, they're no fun,
Yeah.
You feel screwed one way and you feel, like you got to protect yourself the other way.
Maybe I'm just nervous when we get off into some of this stuff. If I don't understand it, then I'll say, "Oh no, we've got here comes something else." And, if I don't get this just right, and you say enough times that if you don't apprehend it, then you can't accept, you can't have grace, you can't know God, or you can't, And after enough times, maybe that's what I'm responding to, that you have to know this, and if I don't understand it,
I said before.
Maybe I'm just getting real weird about it.
Okay, I said there's 1,000 other things. There's all kinds of people who only study the blood of Christ as idea of, not even to the Passover extent, and that's fine. It's not our business to condemn or to say where they are or where they're not or what they're going to heaven. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for us, we are on a pathway that we are going to take apart in great detail every one of the offerings. We are going to study it in intimate detail, all aspects of it. That's what we are going to do. Now, again, you seem to have come from a different place. You seem to be at a different place. There's only resistance to do that. That's my impression, Larry.
Okay, I don't have a conscious, you know, againstness about studying offerings. I don't have a conscious againstness about the stated things. I don't have any conscious thing. I don't think that they're, you know, that it's the wrong way to do. I think there's a lot of value to it. But, you know, if I don't understand it, I don't understand it.
But that's not the approach you come from. Do you understand?
I don't know about that.
You don't come from the approach of I don't understand it. You come from the approach of defending another position. So it's one of withstanding as opposed to one of speaking.
Okay, well, maybe I am doing that, and whenever I hear it often enough, that if you don't understand this, you know, if the whole world doesn't understand this, and all, you know, man, here I am, I'm not understanding it.
If the whole world doesn't understand what?
This, you know, what you said. Everybody has to understand this.
No, I didn't.
Well, that's what I heard. Okay.
I never said that.
Okay, you probably didn't. That's what I heard, that it was necessary.
I said...
The whole world does understand about trespass.
Well, again, something fundamentally different has been taking place for the last few months. Would you agree with that?
I'd say probably so.
Okay. Yeah. The fundamental difference is, from my perspective, I don't want to get in any stupid fights. The fundamental difference is that you believe that you have a way that's different from what I'm teaching.
I've got to say something. And Larry, please don't yell at me. This is not me giving you any shit or anything, okay? I have to say something. What I see you do, and it happened much, much earlier this evening, it wasn't over the priest thing. It was earlier this evening. When you get into a position where you feel like you're not going to get it, or you're not going to keep up, or you're going to get left behind, or there's something you don't understand, and you look around the room and you think everybody else understands it, you panic. And it's at that moment that faith is manifest or not manifest. And at that moment is when you, in your panic, are going to these other places and saying, wait a minute, you don't have to know this, or we don't have to have a priest, or that. From that moment, you go off into these arguments. The arguments are a smokescreen. It's something else. It's back at that moment when you think you're going to be left behind, when you think you're the dumbest kid in the class, when you think everybody else understands and you don't, and there's something wrong with you. That's the moment. I know that moment. I mean, I know it. I get there too. All this other stuff happens way after that.
You're talking about.
You're not going to get left behind. You're not the only one that doesn't comprehend it. You're not the stupidest kid in the class. None of that stuff is true. But in that panic, you're grabbing at any straw instead of staying in that panic and breaking down in tears or confessing weakness or fear or whatever. You're reaching and grabbing and scrambling.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure. I mean, I just know it.
It may be.
I think that's true.
90% of the time, I don't know what the hell he's talking about either. The only thing that's ever comforted me is you can't apprehend it, it will apprehend you. Yeah. And we're not going to leave, I've been told, we're not going to leave you behind. I've been told, if you're going to burn in hell, we'll burn in hell with you. But I don't believe all the arguments, and I don't believe the stance, and I don't believe the fight, and I don't believe the argument over whether the law is fulfilled or not fulfilled. I don't believe any of that stuff, because I can't hear it. It's just noise. But what I do believe is there come times when you get frightened, because I know I get frightened.
Well, yeah, I do. rob him now?
I think I had a time that was like this when we were studying about leprosy. And it was like a point, it was that time when only when you told me, you know, I had some question, you just said, forget it, I'm not answering your question or something, you know, just kind of, and it was like I had to look at myself and say, wait a minute, you know, I've been here all this time, and for some reason I'm all panicked like something's going to explode and not go right if I don't get the answer to this question right now. And, you know, it was like I had to decide whether God was, you know, in charge of all this stuff, in charge of what Oli was saying, in charge of what I was doing, in charge of what everybody's doing, you know, or not, you know. And it was kind of a moment there where, I don't know, maybe it was a moment where I'd been there too long to yell, that's bullshit, Oli. It became kind of a, you know, it was like there's some other action required if I still really thought that, you know. Like if I heard Oli quoting the scripture about, you know, not one jot or tittle, you know, will pass away and all that stuff, and I knew he had forgotten about the last part of that verse, and then when he looked it up, he saw it said fulfilled, and he didn't want to say the last part of it because it didn't fit into what he was going to say. If I thought he was trying to pull something on me, you know, it'd be like, well, shit, why am I even here? If I just thought he was, you know, a person who was just like me, and it's a different thing. And, you know, and I think for years I was in the place of always, you know, thinking, oh, he's going to pull something on me.
Well, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I'm trying to pull anything right now.
I'm just telling you, that's, you know, that's what came to my mind when this thing started, was this deal, you know, this point that happened with me. And it's, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking questions.
Hold on, I came last week and we didn't have any problems. Now, I did not have any problems last week. I was here last...
That's because all it was
Thursday. No, last Thursday, I was here. We didn't have any problems.
Wednesday.
Or whenever it was, last Wednesday. So, y'all's memory was wrong. See, the last few times you've been, we didn't have any problems.
Death to any relationship, though, you know, of any two people or any 20 people, is defensiveness. So, I mean, that's death just from the get-go. And when you get in that defended place where there's no real Larry feelings coming out, there's just, I don't know, and that may be so. And, I mean, there's nothing Larry there. There's no place to. I mean, when I get in that place with Gary, if there's nothing that can happen.
Yeah, I don't want to get there. I mean, I could hear what you're saying about that, and even, you know, like somehow there's a, you know, a wall of protection that gets in there before I ask or, you know, say, hey, you know, all of a sudden I'm feeling weird or I don't understand. I mean, somewhere down the line, that's probably what slipped in. Like, you know, much like Harry was saying, I don't know what that particular point was, but, you know, at some point, you know, I guess I started feeling nervous, and I guess I just should have said that. I mean, I don't know how to get to that point sometimes, but I sure don't want to, you know, run out of here and have some deal, and I don't feel like it's, you know, that I've got some fundamental disagreement or feel like only, you know, not that I hadn't felt like it many times, but I certainly don't feel like it now, that you're trying to do something. But I get nervous just the same, you know, and I couldn't identify the point in the, yeah, I'm intimidated sometimes by all the facts, you know, the facts intimidate me, and and then I try and counter with facts, which is like, you know, trying to sword fight with a rubber band, and I apologize if I attacked you somehow, because I, you know, it certainly, you know, isn't or wasn't my intention to do that. You know, because I don't think I've got major deal.
But wait a minute. I think when you leap, there's a position that you're in when you're in rest and everything's fine. Whenever anything causes you to leave that position, then that's all you do is attack.
Oh.
I mean, and
I'm starting to feel attacked right now.
I
feel like you're attacking me.
I am. Because I'm saying it's time to put away those, it's time to divorce those childish things. The feeling of being attacked and the feelings of being somehow put upon and the feelings of that you have to defend and build defenses and walls, is they are childish things that it's time to divorce. And you can divorce them. You can command that soul to be at rest and say, I get thee behind me. They've served their purpose. You don't have to do it anymore. You don't have to sit there, you know, and close up when if you feel nervous. You don't have to. I mean, none of those things are necessary. They're all things that can just be thrown away now.
Well, that's like we talked about first thing. I believe that it's being tested. You know, I believe that, but it's still being tested, and I see where I don't believe it. You know what I mean? I can. It's not a subjective thing.
Yeah, but what you do is you come out of it in a position of judgment, not in a position of need. You fill a void with your own self rather than letting the need be filled by the Holy Spirit. And all I'm saying to you is that when you feel that need, that angst, that moment, that for years and years, it's that nervousness, the heartbeat fast, the whole thing, that there's a will and a way that says that's based on a lifetime of need to protect yourself, that enters in and gets strong and builds strength. And I'm saying there's another way. At the moment the need is felt, empty it. And by the emptying of it, the Holy Spirit will replace it. I mean, that's all I'm saying to you. I mean, if it's not that, then there is a fundamental difference of what you, I mean, if because you keep going back to it when you get in the nervousness. Either there are some fundamental things that you keep going back to that lead me to believe that there's either a need for this total emptying of self, or there's a need for us to say Godspeed.
Yeah, it's those two.
Well, there's no other.
It may be. I'm not saying that. You know.
I mean, for your own mental health.
I'm not worried about my mental health.
Well, all of
not
us.
At this point. At this point in my life. You know, if I'm worried about anything, it's pursuing the faith. You know, and that's, you know, all the way. Not sitting back in some lethargic position of fear or indifference.
No, see, that's true now because you're not packed. It's what you just said is probably true now. It's not true when you're packed. When you get into that panic, that moment, you aren't interested in pursuing the faith. You're interested in saving your ass.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm saying to you, and that's what he's saying to you, is at that moment when the impulse is to save your ass, wait.
Well, he said it's either one or the other.
Right. You're going to do one or
okay,
the other.
Maybe my mental health does need a rest. I can't wrangle anymore. You know, I just, I get so many questions asked.
Then though, I keep thinking about, and it keeps occurring to me every time this kind of stuff happens, is there's not any fundamental difference that I can tell in my own. It's like I keep seeing this teenager that wants to be an adult, and so it's like, you know, when you reach the point as a teenager where you kind of keep vying with your parent, trying to find that place where they just might be wrong, but yet, you know, it's like trying to swallow what they're saying, but not quite sure about it, and so it's the constant wrangling, defending, wrangling, you know what I mean? It's just that constant thing that seems to be trying to find this, a place almost where, right before you step over into adulthood, finally, where you just go, okay, the point of, yeah, my parent is, you know, versus, nah, I don't know about this.
I think I told you before what I thought that the whole process, what it had to do with, that it, over the last few months, your suffering and your position, as I told you, I think it had only to do with Gary. Mm-hmm. And I think it served its purpose, because I now know that Gary, I mean, he's stronger in the faith than I am, probably. I mean, I can tell by his words and his actions and his feelings, and I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. So that's why I say it served its purpose. I know you, there's no basic differences. And I know you don't have... I would ask you to do me a blessed favor. Trust me for a few months on the offerings. I'm not going to lead you astray. Try to trust me for a while. I am not out to get you. Try to trust that what I'm trying to show you in the offerings is the revelation of Jesus Christ and that alone. You don't have to defend any position. You don't have to defend any tenets of the faith. And if there's a feeling of fear or not understanding, openly say it. Because if it's there, I promise you, somebody else doesn't understand worse than you don't. And we'll stop and go over it until it's meet. But don't feel you have to attack me again.
Well, I didn't feel like I had to attack you now. I mean, I probably got off into it, but I didn't feel like I had to.
Well,
you know. I mean, I have felt like I had to,
but
this wasn't one of those.
But it hasn't served. I mean, it can never, ever serve a purpose.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's a point, Larry, where you know, where, like Ali says, your heart starts racing and your blood starts boiling,
yeah.
And you realize that there's a microsecond in there, because I have it, where
it's starting to get real weird. And it's like this form, you know, it's like it's been so uncomfortable for so long, you know, that it's difficult for me to, you know, if I got questions, you know, it's like I have questions, if I saw you outside, I could just ask you a question, you know. But it's like, in this deal, I trust you. I'm not, you know, I don't think you're trying to do anything weird. And Lord willing, you know, for the next few months while we're going through this, you know, I hear what you say.
Okay.
And I'm willing to.
But you understand that when you do what you did tonight, it isn't questions you're asking.
It was a
Well,
it was a challenge.
Okay.
You understand that? And it was because the question was way back here, and then a position of strength came, and then there was a challenge. Now, all I'm asking you, if there's a question, ask it. But I can't trust it that I'm not going to, I mean, I am just as likely as you are to go for the juggler when I'm challenged.
I know.
And, I mean, it's silly.
Here's a thing, too, that, like, I think what Harry said was exactly right, that there's that moment of weakness and fear. And, I mean, it's like, I can't imagine anybody, you know, that's been part of stealth, you know, being in that place, and anybody else that's been a part of stealth having anything other than just pouring out love when that's open.
And you don't have to change that place. You don't have to get it right or figure it out.